welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark LeVanier. In this hour, comedy. Later on, we hear Jack Benny on the Screen Guild Players. But right now, it's the Fred Allen Show with special guest comedian Monty Woolley. This NBC episode first broadcast on December 28, 1947.
And Tenderleaf Tea present the Fred Allen Show with Fred's guest Monty Woolley, Portland Hoffa, Minerva Pius, Peter Donald, Parker Fenley, the DeMarcos, Al Goodman, his orchestra, and Kenny Delmar.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is our final program of 1947. For the last time this year, I'm about to say those immortal words, and I quote, here he is again, Fred Allen.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Portland, tonight we close our books for the fiscal year. If you have any jokes left over from 1947, this will be your final chance to tell them.
According to my books, I have 3 jokes all told.
You mean all told that you haven't told? Mm-hmm. Well, what is your... little sneaky one, get it. What is your first rouser you have left over? I use the word rouser optimistically at this point.
In Poughkeepsie, yeah. 200 coal miners are out of work.
But there aren't any coal mines in Poughkeepsie.
That's why they're out of work.
Well, it certainly was clever of you not to have told that earlier in the year. You know, that could have spoiled the whole rest of the year, that one. What are your other 2 screamers?
As the waiter said when he served the horseradish, I hope this covers your beef.
And we've got the doors bolted, you know. Nobody can get out. I mean, they're just going to sit here and take it, you know, regardless of... And your last one?
It's about a lady from Boston.
A lady from Boston?
She said to the pencil sharpener, don't you know it's rude to point?
Well, speaking... I won't even bother waiting. Speaking of Boston, I'm sorry you brought the whole thing up. Speaking of Boston, do you know in the Boston Public Library they keep one room empty?
One room empty?
It's for the books that are banned in Boston. That brings us up to date with our non-result-getting line. Now, what is in the news?
New York just had a snowstorm that was bigger than the famous blizzard of 1888.
Yes, I know. The paper said the snowfall was 25 inches.
Mama said if it snowed one more day, they'd have to make Admiral Byrd mayor of New York.
No kidding. You want to tell the Poughkeepsie joke again? We could have kept on telling those same 3 jokes. It's not...
And the snow was so deep in Brooklyn,
yeah,
that the mounted policemen had to stand on their horses.
Stand on their horses, mm-hmm, to look over the bridge. Well, I'll tell you, they had a big truck scooping up snow on Broadway. When they emptied the truck downtown, they had 20,000 tons of snow and 14 pickets.
In our street, built a snowman.
A snowman? I passed the YW last night, and 4 old maids were outside building a snow woman. Rules, you know. And speaking of rules, I'd better start footing it for Allen's Alley.
What is your question tonight?
Well, as the old year comes to its annual close, the newspapers always chronicle the outstanding sports and news events of the departed 12 months. And so our question tonight is, what, in your estimation, was the outstanding event or happening in 1947?
Shall we go?
As the 2 billiard ball said when they saw the cue stick coming, let's get rolling. Here we are in Allen's Alley, Portland. Say, the senator has a Christmas wreath nailed on his door. It's an old spare tire painted green with a red ribbon on it. Well, let's knock.
Who's jiggling my latch? Oh, it's you, son.
Well, Well, Senator Clagg.
Well, since Stassen demanded that list of grain traders, half of Washington's gone underground.
You mean the grain?
Politicians are flocking to cooperatives.
Cooperatives?
Yeah, they don't even want to be caught with a little corn in their shoes.
Well, confidentially, Senator, did you as man to man now, did you ever speculate in grain?
Son, on my honor, hope to die, hope the cattle spit in my eye. I ain't had nothing to do with grain since I sowed my wild oats.
Well, how are things around the White House, Senator?
Coming, son.
Really?
Margaret's back home, and
Yes. This
week somebody sent a puppy to the president. The puppy was a Democrat.
How could you tell that the little puppy was a Democrat?
He had his eyes open. Oh. Yeah, I can use that joke, son. I'm writing Harris' 1948 campaign speech.
Well, hope it goes better in the speech than it went tonight, Senator. Harry may give it something, you know. Tell me, what is the speech about?
Well, the president's going to stop people from cutting down trees.
Cutting down trees?
Yeah, he don't want the Republicans stumping the country. He don't want them stumping the country.
I had the misfortune to have heard you the first time. What are the Republicans doing about 1948, Senator?
Well, they're calling in Ralph Edwards.
Ralph Edwards?
Yeah, he's putting on a big Republican contest.
Republican contest?
Who is Mr. Hush?
Well, confidentially, who is Mr. Hush?
Tom Dewey. So long, sir. So long, Edwards.
Well, how do you like that? Say, in all the excitement, I forgot to ask the Senator the question. Well, I'll ask Mr. Moody, I guess.
Howdy, Bob.
Say, Mr. Moody, you sound a little hoarse.
I know. I got a cold in the head.
You too, huh? Well, how could you catch a cold in the head?
I got a run in my stocking cap. Well, before I cut the cat's tail off, I was catching cold all the time.
You were catching cold on account of the cat's tail? How come?
Well, when the winter's freezing cold...
Yes?
A short-tailed cat don't keep the door open so long coming into the house.
Well, tell me, Mr. Moody, what, in your estimation, was the outstanding event of 1947?
Why, the big wind on March 12th.
Well, how bad was the wind?
I'll tell you.
I wish you would.
My wife, Lobelia,
Yeah? Was
sitting in the yard milking.
Uh-huh.
The wind blew the cow clean out of my wife's hands.
You mean your wife?
My wife was left sitting there with her hands clenched over an empty pail.
Jesus.
Yeah, and then the wind went downtown.
Did it do any damage down there?
Why, it blew two old ladies across the street before Boy Scouts could help them.
Yeah.
And then the wind, it went into a sporting goods store.
Uh-huh.
It so happened that there was 40 moose calls laying on the counter.
40 moose calls, huh?
Yeah, and the wind blew them 40 moose calls all to once.
Uh-huh.
It was the biggest moose call ever heard in Hoosick Falls.
The biggest moose call, hey? Well, what happened?
Why, the Elks Clubhouse jumped off its foundation and come waddling down Main Street.
How long did the wind last?
Oh, kept blowing all night.
All night?
Yeah, about midnight, it blew all the knobs off the outside doors.
Yeah?
I run out. I was fuming.
Fuming, huh?
I was in my pajamas.
Did the wind rip off your pajamas?
No, just blew my top. So long, Buck.
Hi, this is too much for me. Let's see what can happen at this next door.
Howdy, Chappie.
Oh, Mrs. Nussbaum. Say, you have your overshoes on.
I'm just coming back from the movies.
Oh, the movies, eh?
Radium City Music Hall.
Radium City? What was the picture?
Good News.
Good News, huh?
It is the life of Gabriel Heater.
Okay. Fine.
And on the stage is Dancing Girls, the Ricketts.
The Ricketts? Well, Mrs. Nussbaum, what to you was the biggest thing in 1947?
Without hesitating, I'm answering the new look.
The new look, eh?
But why they are calling it the new look, this to me is altogether confusing.
You mean with those long skirts?
Where is the look? There is nothing to see.
Well, have you personally attempted the new look?
When it is first coming out, I am surprising my husband, Pierre.
Oh, good. What was your outfit?
with a long, ravishing camel's hair ballerina skirt.
Yes.
I am wearing a raccoon peasant blouse.
Yes.
Puffing out with leg of mutton sleeves.
I see.
Over black seamless nylons.
Yes.
Is peeking out rhinestone pantalettes.
Peeking out.
With cinnamon-colored gaiters.
God.
With this, I'm wearing open-toed moccasins.
Yes.
And overall, a baggy weasel cape.
Yes.
Caught at the neck with a Tootsie Roll. The 10-cent size.
The 10-cent size. Sick.
And for a staff, I am carrying a buffalo leg.
A buffalo leg? What happened?
When I'm coming home, I'm saying, surprise, it is the new look.
Well, what did your husband say?
Pierre also is saying, new look.
New look?
New look for another husband.
Well, that brings us to the little shanty on the simulated bog at the end of the alley. Let's arouse Mr. Cassidy.
Give me watch on the horse after sitting there. Horse knocking on me.
How do you do?
Good evening.
Good evening. Well, Mr. Cassidy, what do you think was the biggest thing that happened in 1947?
Oh, so many things happened in 1947, me boy.
It's hard to decide.
Really? Well, what were some of the big events?
Well, no, there was that day in Rasputin Rooney's butcher shop.
Yes.
A 300-pound pig come to life on the butcher's block.
Yes.
The pig took the cleaver away from Rooney, chased him in the icebox, and hung Rooney up on a hook.
No, that wouldn't be the answer.
That wouldn't be it.
No.
Well, no, there was the night me Uncle Trilby Cassidy put the live wire in his pocket.
He put a live wire in his pocket? What happened?
Oh, sparks started shooting out of his derby and both of his legs lit up.
Well, that would hardly be the outstanding event of 1947.
Wait a minute. There was the day I went to work. People came from miles around. They couldn't believe their eyes.
I have to take an oath. It was me.
Well, Ajax,
Wait a minute. I have it. Now, the outstanding event in 1947 was the Big Four meeting in London.
Well, that's more like it.
The Big Four. No wonder they couldn't agree.
What do you think?
Oh, sitting around in them high-backed chairs, surrounded by diplomatic protocol.
But
afraid to cross their legs for fear their stripy pants would get baggy in the knees.
Well, look.
Oh, afraid to turn their heads for fear they'd cut their throats on them stiff-wing collars. How could any four men agree?
Well, do you think you can help the Big Four?
Hey, boy. I can have the Big Four throwing their arms around each other and seeing eye to eye in 20 minutes.
How?
Well, I take the Big Four into Kerrigan's cozy corner.
Yes?
I'd escort the Big Four into the back room.
Yes?
I'd sit the Big Four down at a table.
And?
I'd say to Kerrigan, give the Big Four a fifth. Goodbye, dear boy.
Keep our rendezvous with the five DeMarco sisters, with the pompous Al Goodman atop his podium conducting, the DeMarco sing Near You, girls.
There's just one place for me, near you. It's like heaven to be.
Portland.
Yes?
Have you noticed sort of a used fragrance rampant in here?
Yes, it's me.
Well, how have you suddenly acquired this soiled pungent?
Mama gave me some perfume for Christmas.
Perfume? Oh.
It's like surrender.
Like surrender? And what is yours called?
Fight back.
fight back. Well, it certainly is. You are exuding the aroma of a fawn's lair.
Did you get many presents this Christmas?
Oh, yes. All my friends in radio remembered me. Mary Margaret McBride sent me a wicker muffler with the names of all of her sponsors painted on it, 7 feet long. It has spats on the end of it. You can walk in it if you like. Jack Eigen sent me a big toffanetti potato. Somebody sent me a cuckoo clock.
A cuckoo clock?
Yes, but it's broken. The cuckoo comes out backwards.
Can't you exchange it?
Well, I took it back to the store, and what a time I had.
What happened?
Well, last Friday afternoon, I put the cuckoo clock under my arm and started over to Gimbledale's department store. Well, this is Gimbledale's. I wonder where the clock department is. I'll ask at this information booth. Pardon me, miss.
I'm sorry, sir. This gentleman was first.
Oh.
Now, what is it you want?
I want you to show me how to get out of this inferno of humanity.
Monty Woolley. Monty, what are you up to? Lost in a department store.
I'm doing my Christmas shopping.
But Christmas was last Thursday.
I have to do my shopping after Christmas.
Well, why?
To avoid those nauseating incidents that occur at this season of the year due to my alleged resemblance to that mythical busybody, Santa Claus.
You are involved in nauseating incidents?
With depressing regularity. Just a few minutes ago, a vile little cherub kicked me in the fibula.
Yeah.
He said, I told you I wanted a machine gun. What do you mean, bringing me that umbrella?
No kidding.
Last Christmas, while I was shopping, some little brat climbed up on my back and said, what are you going to bring me for Christmas, Santa?
Yes.
I said, little boy, put your ear close to my mouth.
And when the little boy put his ear close to your mouth?
I bit him.
Monty, you bit the little boy?
Yes, and he tasted very sour. He must have had an acid condition.
But at Christmas time, Monty, everyone is supposed to be gay.
Gay? Fred, have you ever thought of Christmas from the viewpoint of a turkey?
Well, no.
At Christmas time, the turkey mortality rate is staggering.
But, Monty...
Fred, how would you like to be a turkey?
Well...
You're running around a barnyard in Maryland with your turkey wife and your little turkey children.
Yes?
Suddenly a cold hand is clamped over your wattle.
Over my wattle.
The next thing you know, your dark meat is being consumed by a total stranger in Lindy's.
But, Monty, Christmas...
Oh, Christmas, bah. The ridiculous gifts people send each other at Christmas.
What did you get, Monty?
A cellophane smoking jacket with asbestos sleeves.
Yes.
A dozen handkerchiefs with the word Gesundheit embroidered in the corner.
Yes.
The complete works of Ilka Chase... With ladyfinger bookmark.
But ladyfinger bookmark?
And if you get hungry while you're reading, you could eat the bookmark.
Oh, I see. Well, where did you spend Christmas, Monty?
I always spend the holidays up at my home in Saratoga.
Saratoga, say it must be wonderful.
Yes, Fred. I have a real old-fashioned Christmas.
A real old-fashioned Christmas.
Yes, Christmas morning, the minute I arise, I have three old-fashioned.
Fine.
And then I sit down and turn on my radio.
You tune in a Yule program?
The annual broadcast of Dickens' Christmas Carol.
And you listen?
I spend an entire hour hissing Lionel Barrymore.
Monty, how can you be so bitter?
Well, it's my nature, Fred. As a boy, I took great delight in letting the air out of little girls' bicycle tires.
Oh, Monty, you're kidding. I saw you in your new picture, The Bishop's Wife. Why, the whole plot is about Christmas. You and Cary Grant are wonderful.
Well, that's why I came on from Hollywood, Fred. I made a personal appearance at the opening of The Bishop's Wife.
Oh, did Cary Grant come on, too?
No. No, but I think the audience was expecting it.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, when I walked out on the stage...
Yes?
Everyone shrieked, "Look, it isn't Grant, it's Lee."
Nice to have seen you. I've got to scoot along, Monty. I have to exchange this cuckoo clock.
Cuckoo clock? What's wrong with it?
Well, it keeps time all right, but when the clock strikes, the cuckoo flies out backwards.
Backwards?
Look, I'll show you. You see?
You say that clock came from this store, Gimbledale's?
Yes.
I'll get this clock exchanged for you.
Uh-huh.
I have a credit card here.
Good.
You won't have to stand in line. You'll be out in 10 minutes.
Well, now, don't bother,
now,
Monty.
No bother, Fred. I'm well known in this store.
Yes?
The exchange department's on the third floor. Follow me. Well,
let's go, Monty.
Here we are, Fred. Third floor.
Here comes a floor walker.
Floor walker?
Yes, can I help you, gentlemen?
My name is Monty Woolley. I have a credit card here at Gimbledale's.
Oh, yes, Mr. Woolley. What is your problem?
My friend here has a cuckoo clock.
Yes, it's broken. I'll show you.
There, you see?
Well, what's wrong with that? The cuckoo came out, didn't it?
Well, yes, but it came out backwards.
With all those feathers, how can you tell the front end of the cuckoo from the back end?
The front end of the cuckoo has a bill on it. Haven't you ever seen the front end of a duck?
But you're not returning a duck.
One more word from you, and I'll take that gardenia out of your buttonhole and thrash you to death with it.
Now, wait a minute. Monty, please, why argue? Monty, I just want to exchange the clock.
Oh, an exchange?
Yes.
If you'll just step into that line.
Line? I have a credit card.
Oh, a credit card. Well, go to the complaint department next aisle over.
Now, come on, Fred. I'll have to get you out of here in ten minutes.
Well, here's the complaint department right here.
Oh, yes, yes. Miss?
Yeah?
My friend here has a complaint.
A complaint? All I hear all day long is complaints. Just once, I'd like to have somebody look through my lattice and say, "Lauren, I ain't got no complaint. Everything's okay."
Miss, I am not interested in your sordid and ungrammatical soliloquy.
Ah, your father's niblick.
Your grandmother wears sports shoes.
And your uncle's got no nostrils.
Your mother's left leg is a pogo stick.
Now, Monty, please.
I'm sorry, Fred. I lost my head.
Miss, I have a defective cuckoo clock here.
Yes, my friend wants to exchange
it.
Well, what's wrong with it?
Show her, Fred.
All right, now look, miss.
So what's wrong with that?
Well, the cuckoo comes out backwards.
Maybe he's bashful.
Bashful? This is ridiculous. For your information, miss, my name is Monty Woolley. I have a credit card.
A credit card? Why didn't you say so? Take the clock to the credit window down this aisle.
Now, look, Monty, I'll bring the clock back some other
time. Nonsense, Fred. I'll have you out of here in 10 minutes.
But, Monty...
Here's the credit window right here. Pardon me.
Right you are, gentlemen, at your service.
My name is Monty Woolley.
I know. I've seen you in pictures.
Oh, really?
Yes. I don't particularly care for your work.
That is beside the point.
My favorite actor is James Mason.
I don't care if your favorite actor is Buster Crabb. I'm here on business.
I beg your pardon. You want a credit?
No, no, it's not. It's for me. I want to exchange a cuckoo clock.
The cuckoo is defective.
Yes, this is the clock right here. Look. See?
I say, the cuckoo has no sense of direction.
What the clock needs is a new cuckoo.
Have you tried the Audubon Society?
The Audubon Society. This molting, backfiring monstrosity was purchased in this store, Gimbledale's.
Yes, it was given to me for Christmas.
Well, it teaches us a lesson, doesn't it?
A lesson?
Never look a gift horse in the mouth.
He isn't looking it in the mouth.
It comes out backwards.
That, I should say, is your problem.
Quit stalling now. My friend wants some action.
Quiet, you. Remember, I've seen you in pictures.
I have an insane desire to take your toupee off and butter the inside of it.
Now, wait a minute. Monty, please. Monty, don't get excited.
Why shouldn't I get excited? I have a credit card.
A credit card? For your information, you're at the wrong window. Get a voucher at window 7.
Window 7, eh? Well, come on, Fred.
Now, look, Monty, I'll keep the
clock. No, Fred, my mind's made up. I'm seeing this thing through.
Well, I can't spend the whole day.
I'll have you out in 10 minutes. Here's window 7. Miss.
Oh, it's your two crumbs again.
I'm looking for window number 7.
This is number 7.
I thought you were in the complaint department.
Just after you left, I got promoted.
Well, look. Look, miss.
I know. Your cuckoo comes out backwards.
Now, wait.
Miss, I have had about enough of your moronic sarcasm.
Well, why don't you get in the clock and look out every hour, Bristlehead? Your cuckoo.
This insubordination is reprehensible. I have a credit card. I demand to see the manager. Where's the manager's office?
Oh, Mr. Heatherwhite, that door behind the water cooler.
Well, come on, Fred.
No, Monty, I've got to go.
I'll have you out in 10 minutes.
Here's the manager's office. It says Mr. Heatherwhite.
Now, follow me.
Yes?
Mr. Heatherwhite?
Yes, but I can't see you without an appointment. If you insist on staying in here, I'll have to turn my head.
My name is Woolley. I have a credit card.
Yes, Mr. Woolley, is something wrong?
Wrong, Mr. Heatherwhite? My friend, Mr. Allen, has been trying to exchange a cuckoo clock for the last 3 hours.
Yes.
He has been insulted in every department but women's wear.
That's true. If this is true, Mr. Woolley, heads will roll. I'll get out a memo immediately in triplicate. Now, about this clock.
Well, it's this cuckoo clock I have here.
The cuckoo comes out backwards.
Yes, watch this, Mr. Heatherwhite.
Dad! The missing clock.
Missing?
It was stolen 2 weeks ago.
Stolen?
Who gave you the clock, Fred?
Well, I don't know, Monty. It was under my Christmas tree. There was no tag on it.
A likely story. This clock was part of a $100,000 jewelry haul made by shoplifters.
Just a minute, Heatherwhite. I'm no shoplifter.
Allen, you'll get 20 years.
20 years? Monty.
Don't worry, Fred.
But 20 years.
I'll have you out in 10 minutes.
Before we remind you to remember bluebonnet margarine and tenderleaf tea in your shopping days, I want to thank Monty Woolley for his visit tonight. Next week, our guest will be Mr. James Mason. Thank you, good night, and a happy new year. Good night. Thank you. Good night.
The Fred Allen Show on Tuned to Yesterday from December 28, 1947 on NBC. You're listening to an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now, Fred Allen's famous radio rival was comedian Jack Benny, and in this next broadcast, we hear Benny in a guest appearance on Lady Esther's Screen Guild Players from June 14, 1943. In that year, Jack Benny made 9 special guest appearances on radio, kicking it off with an appearance on Fred Allen's program, the Texaco Star Theater. He also did a lot of work that year, entertaining the troops in radio shows from Cairo and also the Armed Forces Radio Service program, Command Performance. In this next broadcast, he's joined by Ann Sheridan and James Gleason in the play Love is News from June 14, 1943 on CBS.
Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild Players. Play tonight, Love is News. The starring players.
This is Jack Benny.
This is Ann Sheridan.
And this is James Gleason.
Tonight, Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild Players in that delightful comedy, Love is News, starring Ann Sheridan as Tony Gateson, Jack Benny as Steve Layton, and James Gleason as Marty Canavan. Steve Layton had 2 pet peeves, his managing editor, Marty Canavan, and the nobility-conscious heiress, Tony Gateson. As our story begins, Steve has just been fired from his job on the Daily Express and has gone to a nearby restaurant, where he is playing the pinball machine and concentrating on hating Marty Canavan.
Well, Stevie, my boy, I thought I'd find you here. Stevie, I've changed my mind about firing
you. Go away, Canavan. You're ruining my pinball game.
Now, Stevie, is that any way to talk? After all, I gave you your first job. I've watched you develop into the best young reporter in this town. And believe me, Stevie, I'm proud of you.
Yeah?
Well, we've had some great times together, haven't we? Remember the time I dressed you up as a chambermaid and you stole the papers out of Senator Randolph's room?
Yeah, the old potbelly walked in on me and try to get me to go dancing with him.
Yeah.
And he couldn't even rumba, you remember?
And the time I sent you out to trail old Judge Pinkham?
Yeah. I found him in a taxi with a blonde.
Yeah.
She turned out to be your wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. My third wife. What was her name again?
Shapiro. Maureen Shapiro.
Oh, Stevie, I knew that once we got together, we'd see how silly we were to quarrel. Why, Stevie, we're like Damon and Pythias. Romeo and Juliet. Anthony and Kirkpatrick.
Yeah, Bromo and Seltzer.
Now, look, you'll come back in the paper, won't you, Steve?
Of course I will, Marty.
I knew you would, Stevie.
You should live so long at Mayo Brothers.
Oh, now, wait, Steve. I need...
Yeah, I figured that out. I wouldn't work for you, Canavan, if you
Steve,
were the...
Steve, Tony Gateson arrived in town today.
Tony Gateson? The tin can heiress?
I thought that'd bring out the fire horse in you. Stevie, she's on a plane right now, about 15 minutes out.
Have the other papers got it?
Nope. I got a hot flash from the Cleveland airport. Steve, you've got to find out whether she's ditched the count she was engaged to.
Yeah. If I play my cards right, I can scoop every sheet in town.
You can beat the other reporters at the airport easily. From then on, you're on your own.
Oh, boy, the tin can heiress and the count. What a story. Canavan, you just hired yourself a reporter.
Good boy. Get going.
Just a second. I think this pinball machine is going to pay off. Oh, well, you can't win all the time. Ah, yes, right on time, right on time. Excellent work, pilot. Have a nice trip.
Yes, sir, no trouble at all.
Fine. Are you Miss Gateson, young lady?
No. I'm Tony Gateson.
Well, Miss Gateson, say, did anyone ever tell you that you look like Ann Sheridan?
No, two or three of the Warner Brothers.
And I thought it was my idea. That's besides the point, though. I came here to warn you that there's a bunch of reporters waiting outside for you.
Oh, dear, and I thought I might lose them this time.
You can, that's why I'm here. The airline asked me to see that you weren't inconvenient.
Well, I really can't thank you enough, Mr.
Hammerschlager.
Hammerschlager?
Yes, my father was Spanish.
Oh.
Now, I know how you feel about these smart-aleck reporters, Miss Gateson. They're always annoying our passengers.
Your company is very thoughtful. Will you have a cigarette, Mr. Hammerschlager?
Thank you, thank you.
Light?
No. I'm going to put the cigarette in my hope chest as a souvenir of a real live countess.
If that's what you're saving it for, have a light.
Oh, I see. You mean the no-account count took the count.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, that's news. No wonder you're so anxious to escape reporters.
All I ask is a few days to get as much distance as possible between me and His Highness. After that, they can print what they please.
But they'll say you're going looking for another count.
No, thanks, mister. Never again. When those phony counts look at me, all they can see is money.
What? When they look at you, all they can see is money?
That's all.
Four F eyes.
Anyway, the next man who slips a ring on this finger will have to be a good American title like plumber or bricklayer, motorman, or anything but a reporter.
You don't like reporters, eh?
Why should I? Listen to this clipping. Tony Gateson buys a self-account. Tin Can County says American men are boors. An exclusive interview by Steve Layton.
Steve Layton, eh?
Yes, Steve Layton, gentleman of the press. He must have the mind of a moron.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
He probably wears a toupee.
Well, only on cold nights.
Say, how do you know so much about Steve Layton?
Well, I don't really. I just see him around the YWCA a lot, you know.
Oh, is that so? I'm beginning to wonder about you, Mr.
Wonder about me? Uh-oh, look out there on the field.
Who are all those men? Oh, they must be reporters.
Yeah, the same thing had occurred to me. Well, you won't need me anymore, Miss Gateson. I have a phone call to make. So long.
Hey, there she is now.
Coming through. Let me out, please. Gangway there.
Hey, stop, Steve. Somebody stop him.
Oh, it's too late now.
Well, what did Mr. Hammerschlager do?
Mr. Hammerschlager? Lady, you were talking with Steve Layton.
Oh, yeah.
Steve Layton? Why, he said he was sent for the airline ship.
Yeah, that's Steve, all right. Now, how about a statement for the rest of the press, Miss Gateson?
Why, yes. Yes, I'll make a statement.
Oh, no,
quiet. Quiet, please, boys. Ready? Take this down, please. Miss Antoinette Gateson, Tony, to you boys, takes pleasure in announcing her engagement to Mr. Stephen Layton of the New York Express.
What?
Yes. And as a little engagement gift, I'm settling $1 million on Stevikins.
Steve, you're murder. Solid murder.
What a story.
Oh, it's nothing any white-blooded American boy couldn't do.
Wait till Tony Gibson finds out you're a reporter.
Will she burn?
Here you are, boss. Today's Chronicle, Globe, and Dispatch.
Oh, thanks, boy. Now, let's see what the Globe thinks is news, Steve. Tony Gateson to...
Marty. Marty, what is it? Let me see that paper. Give me that paper, Marty. Tony Gateson. Tony Gateson to marry a reporter. Steve Layton gets tin can heiress and $1 million. Steve Layton. Hey, she can't do this. It's a plot. Give me the other papers, quick. Reporter lands heiress, gets $1 million. Marty, I've been framed. Marty, say something to me.
Steve, this is a funny business, isn't it? The biggest news break in months happens to someone on my own staff, and every paper in town scoops me.
I know, Marty, but gee, I couldn't do
but
anything.
But that's the way it goes, I guess.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Marty.
Sure. I'm sorry, too, old kid. Now get out of here! You're fired!
Marty, wait. This is a fake. I'll make her eat this story.
You're finished. You'll never make another dime in this town on the newspaper. Get out!
Marty! Well, you feel that way.
Mr. Layton?
Yeah?
I just read the news. Congratulations.
Thanks, pal.
I represent the Wilson Marine and Launch Corporation. Would you be interested in buying a yacht?
No, I wouldn't be interested in buying a yacht.
Well, how about a nice pair of water wings?
Well, maybe I could use a pair of water wings. I'm thinking of drowning myself. The hard way.
Mr. Layton, I'm from Henderson Motors. We happen to have a very fine Packard in stock, and I thought...
Go away, will you?
Right downstairs at the curb, Mr. Layton. Just drive it yourself and see what a bargain it is. I have the keys with me.
I can drive it myself?
Oh, you bet.
And give me the keys. I think I'll take a little trip out to the Gateson estate.
To see your sweetie?
Yeah.
Well, give her a kiss for me.
Oh, I will. Just before I saw her in half. Can you tell me how to get to the Gateson estate?
Yeah. Just as soon as I finish with the dame in this car.
Okay.
Why, it's you, Stevikin.
Tony Gateson. So the law finally caught up with you, huh?
Hello, Stevikin. Have you seen the papers?
Yeah.
What else is new?
Okay, wise guy.
Your paper got looped, didn't it?
That scoop.
All right. Break it up. I ain't got all day.
What you do, officer?
85 miles an hour on a county highway. Failure to stop at a red light. Passing four cars on the wrong side of the road. Failure to stop for an officer of the law. And reckless driving.
Is that all?
I also smuggle a little dope.
Well, won't this make a tasty tidbit for the late edition? Really, Miss Gateson, I simply must leap into my little Packard and scurry off the telephone. I really must. Goodbye.
Where did you get a Packard?
Oh, there are ways for a smart young man to get a Packard. Ta-ta, my sweet.
Officer, ask to see this man's registration. That looks like a stolen car to me.
What?
Hey, is that your car, bud?
Well, no.
All right, where did you get it?
Well, I borrowed it.
That's what he says. If you ask me, this character looks very much like Gearshift Hammerschlager, the well-known car thief.
Why, that's ridiculous, officer. I couldn't steal a car if I wanted to.
Oh? Why not?
I've only got an A card.
Well, now you've got an S card. A summons!
Steve and Tony are in the small town courtroom waiting for the judge to decide their cases.
All right, court is now in session.
Well, young woman, reckon I better collect a fine from you. How much money have you got, huh?
But, Judge, can't you wait until my lawyer gets here?
No, I let you call him, but I ain't waiting. I run an honest court, and I don't like lawyers around.
Honest? We make 2 10-cent phone calls, and you charge the dollar. Not that I mind the money.
The 80 cents was for tax.
What kind of tax is that?
Well, I ain't got a name for it yet, but it'll come to me.
You're wasting your time, Judge. You belong in Washington.
All right, all right. Let's get along with the fining. I got a date this afternoon. I'm going catfishing.
Catfishing? Do people actually try to catch those silly things?
You're feeling pretty chipper there, ain't you, Bub?
Why not? Henderson Motors told you I had permission to drive that Packard. I'm in the clear.
I reckon that's right. Young woman, how big a fine can you afford?
Just let yourself go, Judge. I'll write a check.
Not in this court you won't, huh? One speeder we caught gave me a check on a bank, and it turned out he never had no account there.
Who was that scoundrel?
Signed himself Julius Caesar. got $25, young woman?
$25?
Yes.
Judge, that's an insult. Miss Gateson is one of America's richest heiresses.
Oh, she is, huh? Make it $50.
Sweet of you to help me, Stevie.
Well, you wouldn't expect me to desert my fiancée. You can't shove this girl around, Your Honor. Her father's a big man.
Oh.
Controls a dozen banks, half a dozen railroad companies. Has a half interest in an iron claw machine.
An iron claw machine, huh? Make it $100.
If he hears about this, he could make plenty of trouble for you. He's so influential, even his butcher speaks to him.
Oh. Well, now you got me scared. Young woman, I ain't gonna find you a single lead cent.
That's red cent.
Ain't you seen them new pennies, sonny?
Well, it's certainly sweet of you not to find me, Judge.
Yes, isn't it? Instead, I'm gonna throw you in jail for 30 days.
Well, how do you like that, Miss Gates?
Hey, Homer.
Yeah, Judge?
Put this young woman in cell 13. Oh, you love that. It's the cell with a view.
Really? A view of what?
Cell 14.
But, Judge, we're reserving cell 13 for 88 keys.
Well, don't worry about him. You know, he's still giving the farmer's daughter music lessons.
Well, okay, Judge.
And look, put this young fella in the cell next to her.
Hey, wait a minute. I haven't done anything. What are you putting me in jail for?
For laughing at catfish. Now get going. Go on.
Are you there, Stevie?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Now, this is such a charming old jail. It reminds me of an 18th century castle, especially the plumbing.
Well, there's one consolation.
What's that?
They love me in St. Joe.
Oh, Steve again.
What, Tonykin?
You know, the biggest reason I like it here is because I'm with the man I love.
You and me, kid. You and me.
Can't you just see the headlines in the papers? Stevekins goes to jail to be near his Tonykin.
Well, at least you can't do that to me, not when you're safe in a cell.
Aren't you forgetting that this judge let me out for a little while?
But you said... I mean, you told the judge.
I know, darling, and I did powder my nose. But I also phoned the newspapers.
Why, you...
All but the Express. Your paper's been drooped again, dear.
That's scoop.
Oh.
All the lowdown. I'll get you for this, you Morgenthau bait. I'll tear this cell apart. I'll chew my way through the wall brick by brick.
Hey, what's all the fuss? What's going on here?
Judge, did you ever meet a murderer?
No, can't say as I did.
Well, put me in that cell with her, then come back in 10 minutes and shake hands.
Young fella, this is a respectable jailhouse. Suppose I did put you in there with her. How do I know you'd murder her?
Judge, you think of everything.
Then I'll be dogged if I ain't glad one of you's getting out of here.
Now who's getting out?
She is. Lawyer just showed up with one of them habeas corpses. All right, now get along now.
Well, now I'm beginning to like it here.
Judge, how much is the fine for laughing at catfish?
$50. I'm mighty fond of them critters.
All right, I'll pay it. Let him out, too.
Oh, no, you don't. I stand on my constitutional right. I'm staying right here.
Out you go, young fella.
Okay.
When will I see you again, Stevekin?
That's easy. You'll see me again when a gentleman with horns and a tail knocks on your door and says, Miss Gateson, it's frozen over.
Thank you.
Come in.
Hello, Steve. I couldn't wait for it to freeze over.
Look, this is my room, and that ermine wrap you're wearing doesn't match the wallpaper. Things like that upset me.
Well, shall I remove the wrap, or will you remove the wallpaper?
Neither. If you're doing relief work, the slums are two block east. Now, good night.
You'll have to throw me out.
And sit down. I never wrestle with strangers.
What are you doing, dear? Throwing on a button?
No, making a crazy quilt.
Here, darling, let me sew that.
You?
Well, why not? I'm really good at it.
This I've got to see. Here's the button, here's the needle, and here's what every young girl should know about sewing.
I won't need it.
Well, you certainly look domestic. By the way, aren't we still engaged?
After fashion.
Well, in that case, come here.
What are you going to do?
Something that's done in the best engaged circles, known as a kiss. Not too late to back out. Are we still engaged?
Yes.
Well? Well!
Oh, Steve, I'm afraid that... Well, our engagement can't go on.
I see what you mean.
I just want you to know I came here tonight to apologize for putting you in the freak tent. I'm truly sorry.
Well, Tony, I'm sorry I was so nasty.
You weren't nasty, Steve.
Yes, I was. I was a perfect stinker.
No, you weren't.
Oh, yes, I was. Well, don't quit now.
I feel terrible. You lost your job because I let your paper get pooped.
That's poop! Now, don't worry. I'll find something.
Oh, well, I suppose I'd better be going.
Yes, I think you better.
Here, I finished sewing your button. Good job?
Great. Couldn't have done better myself.
I'm glad you like it. Now, put them back on before you catch cold.
Put what back on?
Your trousers. Good night, Steve.
Yikes! I forgot what I was sewing the button on. Well, just cast your eyes on this button, Canavan. You ever see any better sewing?
Now listen, Steve.
Look, the thread goes right
Steve,
through the
will
hole.
Will you forget the button and listen? I've got a surprise for you.
And she never stuck herself once. What do you think of that?
I think you're nuts.
Oh.
But you're a lucky boy, Steve. You've got a swell girl and a swell job.
Darn right I got a swell girl. Darn right I got a... Huh? What job?
You're rehired and promoted to city editor. Finley quit and you're taking over.
Is this on the level?
Oh, my word of honor.
Nuts to that. Is this on the level?
Yes, my boy, I'm giving you a job. Take a look at the door of Findlay's office. Go ahead, read it.
Stephen Layton, city editor. Well, I'll be... This isn't like you, Canavan. Your mother's the only person you ever gave anything to. And that was a hot foot.
I know you've got the stuff, Steve. That Gateson thing was just a bum break.
You certainly made it tough for me, Marty.
Tough?
Yeah, and I got to convince myself that you're not a heel.
Always kidding, Steve. Well, go on and go on in. Get acquainted with the furniture.
Okay, but I don't believe it. He's not a heel. He's not a heel. He's not a heel.
How do you like that guy? Let me give my mother a hot foot. At that, I'll bet she'd jump about 3 feet.
He's not a heel.
Congratulations, Mr. Layton.
Oh, hello. How'd you get in here?
I sneaked in. I wanted to be the first to wish you luck on the new job. Like the flowers on your desk?
Sure. Wait a minute.
What's wrong?
There's a peculiar smell in the air. How'd you find out about this job so fast?
Well, I
knew it. You cooked it up yourself.
Well, why not? After all, it's my fault you were fired. My father happens to own stock in the paper. And I told him how clever you were, and he said that...
That's enough. The deal's off, Tony.
Oh, but Steve...
Skip it. Nobody can buy me a job.
Now, please, Steve. I was only trying to straighten things out again. Did I do it wrong?
In a big way. Just because your old man is a millionaire, you think you can buy anything in the world. Well, I'm not for sale. My career isn't for sale. From now on, you forget you ever met me. Goodbye and good luck with your next train seal.
Steve.
Here, our engagement's over. Take back your old button. Well, drink up, Johnson.
Sort of crowding it, aren't you, kid?
Just a sentimental gesture. Celebrating the story of my life with 25 drinks.
Okay, two more beers, Mike.
Okay.
Yes, sir. For 25 years, I was a clown. For 2 minutes, I was a city editor. Now I'm back to normal. Fascinating, isn't it?
Oh, gee.
Well, well, little Miss Muffet, pull up a tuffet and sit down.
They told me I'd find you here.
Hey, aren't you Tony Gateson?
Yes. Steve, all I ask is that you listen
for... Hey, fellas, look who's here. Tony Gateson, the answer to Morgan Thaw's prayer.
I'm sorry, boys, I'm sorry. I didn't come here to give an interview. I came here to get one with Mr. Layton, and I may need your help.
This place is getting too ritzy. I think I'll try the free lunch at the Stork Club.
Hold him, boys.
Hey, what is that? What is that?
Mr. Layton, I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Now, let go of me, your mother, will you?
Don't you think Tony Gateson's a human being? Why don't you treat her like one? When are you going to start acting like one yourself?
Ganging up on me, eh? A fine bunch of friends.
When are you going to forget her money? Is it her fault she's rich?
Maybe not, but...
When did you first realize you loved her?
When the judge put us... Never mind.
Do you remember the time you kissed her?
Take it easy now. We're surrounded.
When are you going to kiss her again?
Now, Tony, please.
When are you going to kiss her again?
Right now.
Now I know why they loved you in St. Joe.
Thank you, Ann Sheridan, Jack Benny, and James Gleason, for your appearances tonight with the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players.
Lady Esther's Screen Guild Players, or the Screen Guild Theater, a CBS broadcast on Tuned 2 yesterday from June 14, 1943. And the curtain comes down on this hour of comedy on Tuned 2 yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for listening.